Today is May the 4th, also known as Star Wars Day. The first Star Wars film spawned many sequels, TV series, video games, and a multi-billion dollar merchandise industry.
So we thought it would be a good time to revisit our episode about movie merchandise. Our pals Gene Demby and Chris Klimek joined us to talk about Jar Jar Binks lollipops, E.T. dolls, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles cereal, and more. I'm Stephen Thompson.
And I'm Linda Holmes. And in this encore episode of Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR, we're talking about some of our favorite movie merchandise. So don't go away.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Microsoft Teams. Microsoft Teams is helping Priority Bicycles reinvent the way they work. When the pandemic hit, the bike shop had to close their New York City showroom. They found a way to reopen by doing virtual visits on Teams. Now the team can meet with two or three times the number of customers than they could before, and people from all over the world can visit their showroom. Learn more about their story and others at Microsoft.com/Teams.
Now you might wonder, how did a conversation about Star Wars get you thinking about junk, toys, merchandising, tie-ins, swag, and so forth? I feel like Steven is my personal king of ironic, stupid possessions of this type.
I don't know what you mean.
Please, owner of a Master P doll.
Three.
Three, three of them?
I have three.
Yeah. I will buy one of them for
you.
No, you can have one as long as you're willing to pry it out of my cold, dead hands.
Right.
If you poke him, he goes, huh, right?
Yeah, if you push his chest, he goes,
Yes.
Did they say different things?
No, he says, na-na-na-na twice, and there's a hilarious pause between the two. That makes the second one so much funnier.
Oh, my gosh.
So, anyway, now you know why Steven is my king of ironic, stupid possessions. So, I want to hear a little bit, Steven, about your adventures in merchandising. Are you a guy who picks up stuff, like merchandising stuff?
I'm a guy who has picked up that stuff, particularly during the height or perhaps the decline of Spencer Gifts. Spencer Gifts, which you can find in most any mall or have been able to find in malls, I don't know, really amazing for blowing out unwanted movie merchandise, particularly movie merchandise for movies that no one ended up seeing, which is how I wound up paying a grand total of like $20 for like a box of Battlefield Earth merchandise, including several talking turtles where you can get John Travolta to yell, "Ret Brain!" if you push a button.
What a deal.
Well, they're all
only $20.
They're all crammed into my arcade. So I'm a grown adult,
but so to speak.
I think that, I mean, yes, I've got a Baby Geniuses doll. I've got a Cisco doll.
Come on! Oh my gosh,
Gene,
that is amazing.
Gene, come over.
Yeah, I'm actually coming over now.
So the king of this crappy merchandise really is the Star Wars prequels.
Absolutely.
The franchise that generated the most of this garbage and the most stuff that you could buy like in deep discount for years is stuff from the prequels, particularly stuff that had Jar Jar Binks on it.
Mm-hmm. Like, they really thought that was going to go differently. You could just tell they really thought that was going to go differently.
They thought everyone was going to be clamoring. And the thing is, when you look at the history of Star Wars toys, it makes sense. It's no surprise that every iteration of Star Wars has like the most stuff, because if you look at the collectible toys that people actually lovingly collected, that people actually cared about, that some of the original stuff is worth actual money, like in some cases a lot of actual money. The idea that Star Wars is going to be this generator of tons and tons and tons of collectibles makes a lot of sense. But I have, among other things, two pieces of Jar Jar Binks merchandise. If you don't know about it, it's hard to believe that it exists. One is, when I went researching this segment, every single piece about bad movie merchandise mentioned the Jar Jar Binks lollipop that is the head of Jar Jar Binks, and then it folds in half. And then the lollipop part that you are supposed to put in your mouth, the stiff,
see the hand signal.
Yeah. Kind of mottled tongue of Jar Jar Binks, which you are supposed to put in your mouth.
So are you like French kissing?
You are like
I know that there were alien toys, but I don't think any of them capitalized on the opportunity have just pointed out here. The face hugger pop.
Yeah, if they could make it creepily sexual. I mean, yes, there are a lot of alien toys that are like for children.
H.R. Giger gets a cut.
There are alien toys for like children ages 4 and up, which I always like.
All right, but tell me about your other.
So the other Jar Jar Binks was a KFC bucket topper. Like kind of a foamy plastic frisbee that's set on the top of a bucket of KFC. And if you love playing frisbee but wish that the plastic smelled like fried chicken, or if you love fried chicken but wish it smelled more like plastic, it was a perfect toy for you. Yeah. But it was like a frisbee with a gigantic, horrifying face of Jar Jar Binks on it.
It's someone's job to come up with that
stuff. Oh my God. And it's, yeah. I mean, that's like a billions dollar
and we should point out there is a really, I cannot argue with how good it is, BuzzFeed post that they put out in the last couple days that is currently available Star Wars stuff.
One of them is Star Wars oranges.
Yeah, oranges.
Like a bag
apples.
Of Star Wars The Force Awakens oranges.
What?
Why? Just a bag of oranges with Star Wars on
I mean,
oranges.
I bought some batteries, but they didn't cost any more than regular batteries.
That's the thing. And then there's also a set of Star Wars humidifiers. And there's a set of, I'm trying to remember some of the other ones, but they are really weird, and we will link to that post. It's when they get into really mundane things, like things that you would think no child would whimsically want, like oranges.
Right.
Like, why would you just label your oranges as Star Wars oranges? That's weird. And a bunch of people have shown off the Campbell soup cans, and of course, every time you get cans of pop and stuff like that. I don't know. Are you a merch guy, Gene?
I was when I was a kid, because in the 80s, that was when they started marketing. Cartoons were basically like delivery mechanisms for cereal. And, I mean, I ate so much Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle cereal when I was a kid.
Did you really?
It was the vilest. I mean, it was delicious then, but I mean, today it's like, oh my God, this should not be allowed. It was just powdered Chex with the marshmallows you find in the Lucky Charms. Like all in the same.
Sure.
It was so sweet. It was I had all the Ninja Turtle stuff.
I would eat that for breakfast
tomorrow. So you were a Ninja Turtle collector kind of person.
Just completely indiscriminate. Like, just give it to me. Like, consume. I had all the toys and all. Like, the thing I wanted most was the turtle wagon. Like, it was like a thing that I was obsessed with for a long time.
But
like
the turtle wagon?
You know, it's like the little van that they drove around in. But I like wanted, I mean, had all the video games. I had
now,
all like
now,
the
later in life, did you go back and buy that stuff?
No.
See, I did.
Did you really?
Not with the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
But with Star Wars in the 80s, I remember my boy Dan had all of the action figures. And they're like, potentially thousands of action figures, like, you know, those red guys who escort Darth Vader off.
Yeah, the Imperial Guard. I brought a list here, Gino. I want to ask you about Dan's collection.
Okay.
All right. I just want to read, and then let's see. Okay. Luke Skywalker.
Definitely a Luke Skywalker.
Princess Leia.
I don't think he had Princess Leia, no.
Aw, cool.
Yeah, I know. Because,
okay.
The patriarchy.
Chewbacca.
Chewbacca, definitely.
Forlom.
Forlom.
Bosk.
What?
IG-88.
Honestly, I know IG-88. I remember IG-88.
Who's
IG-88?
IG-88, good action figure.
Well, because they helpfully labeled the carton in parentheses Bounty Hunter after his name, he is one of the bounty hunters who is in The Empire Strikes Back for one shot. But one shot is enough to get you an action figure.
I remember him as an action figure, but not in the movie.
Yeah.
So Boba Fett, and you see when Darth Vader's telling them that he has like he's like sending them out to go hunt down Luke and them. Right?
Yes. And no disintegration.
Yes, absolutely. That's what he says. No,
he's the other one. He's not
the other guy.
And he looks like he doesn't look human. I mean, he looks humanoid, but he's clearly metal and looks like you'd think he was a robot.
Like tall and skinny.
Or she was a robot.
Maybe.
Maybe that movie passed the
Bechdel
test.
Maybe that's why Gene's friend doesn't have him, because he's a lady.
Actually, can I play a clip related to this? Because
this
story may have been told before. Jess, if you could play number one, please.
Star Wars figures. R2-D2. Chewbacca, Luke, and Princess Leia. They're the Star Wars Early Bird set of figures. These action figures are not yet available, but this Star Wars Early Bird certificate package is in stores. With this colorful Star Wars picture display stand and certificate, to send in to get a set of figures by mail. They'll be sent to you at home between February 1st and June 1st. The Star Wars Early Bird Certificate Package, new from Kenner.
Yeah, so the story is Kenner was not equipped to handle the demand in any way for toys after Star Wars came out. So
February 1st to June 1st.
For Christmas 1977, here's a little box with a picture of the characters on it and a notice that sometime between February and June.
An IOU.
Yeah.
Toy IOU.
Yes, I love how that commercial doesn't even pretend that you're going to play with those toys. It's just like to collect those.
This is the this is how George Lucas became the most truly independent filmmaker ever. Is after American Graffiti was a huge hit, he was entitled to a higher salary for Star Wars, and rather than take the offered $500,000, he said, "No, I'll take the $150,000 you're going to pay me initially, but I get the sequel rights and I get the merch rights." And 20th Century Fox said, "Sure, whatever." And that's how he was able to pay for The Empire Strikes Back and all subsequent Star Wars movies himself. You know, just
and make
like
all his experimental films.
Just, and make Red Tails.
Red Tails and give us Jar Jar Binks.
That was experimental in a way.
Yeah, it's true. It's experiment on the brain of Gene.
So the toy progression for me was Star Wars, then Transformers, then G.I. Joe.
Okay.
And G.I. Joe took me into comic books. Mm. So that, you know, was sort of the transition out of the toy phase. I had a good few years with the toys as instructed by ads like this one.
Take a good look. It's the Cobra Pogo.
Joe's got trouble.
He's got it bad.
Because Cobra's got a pogo.
And it's hopping mad. Pogo's loaded for action.
It's the Cobra Commando.
Cobra.
But Joe's coming back with a G.I. Joe slam.
On the run for
the G.I. Joe slam.
It's out back in Crazy Lake.
It's got a four-cannon gun that can struggle to face the enemy.
G.I. Joe.
So it's probably not actually Fred Schneider of the B-52s. Yeah, so the pogo, so we had to sort of, I guess we had run out of actual military equipment that we could sort of emulate in toy form. So they make this like hopping, just like four-pronged pogo stick.
Wow.
Called
Love
a pogo.
It. Love
and,
it.
And yeah, because there was a hungry audience for all this stuff.
Love it. So I had Barbie and Skipper. I had Olympic Barbie.
Olympic Barbie.
Oh, and in my arcade, I have several Rosie O'Donnell Barbies.
Wait.
It's a Rosie O'Donnell doll. She's Barbie's friend.
What?
I don't. Who is that for?
It was for me at like $2.99 a piece.
My gosh. Yeah. So my life in swag now is dominated by the fact that they send it to you when you work writing about TV and movies and stuff like that. They send you stuff just to try to like get your attention. And the great thing about like the rule at many companies, including NPR, is basically you're allowed to keep things that have no value.
Right.
So if anybody were to send me anything that really was worth something, I would kind of have to send it back. And they know that. So they just send you stuff that has no value whatsoever. So they just send you like a little plastic guy, or they send you one of 8 million shirts that I have that I keep at my desk in case I spill something on myself. True story.
Emergency shirts.
Emergency shirts. But they can't send you anything of value. So everything that I get that is promotional stuff is specifically designed to be worth nothing so that you can keep it. And every now and then they mess up and they send you something that...
You get a basket intended for the Hollywood Foreign Press Association.
That's thousands of dollars. The thing is, somewhere they know, because every now and then they do something like they send a bunch of critics like iPads.
Yeah.
But I never get one. It's like somebody somewhere knows... No, she's not going to keep the iPad.
Right.
No, she'll just be mad she has to send it back.
Exactly. Yeah. They are sending you a burden.
Exactly.
I got sent an iPod Touch one way.
Exactly. They just are sending you a burden. Everything else, it's specifically designed to be worth nothing. So I wind up with a lot of stuff like at my desk right now, I have a can of Doomsday Prepper beans.
Beans. I was about to ask you about those beans on your desk.
Exactly. I got a can
Doomsday,
of beans.
So wait, these are like you're going to plant these and grow food?
No,
after
they're
Doomsday,
canned
or?
Beans.
Oh, okay.
They're
of
like
course.
for your stash when the apocalypse comes.
Right.
And I got stuff like that. I got, I have on my desk a squeezy ball that's some sort of foam thing that somebody sent. I have several squeezy balls. Stress balls and things like that are very big. And that's where most of my promotional junk comes from now. I never own anything that's like a cool thing. I only own a bunch of ironic plastic crap.
I had an E.T. that I would, like, I would say it was a plush toy, but it was actually, like, vinyl or something, like, kind of not welcoming
and cuddly. Yeah.
But it had what I was convinced
like,
was...
Like what you get at the amusement park if you hit them.
Yeah.
Yep.
But my brother and I both really, really loved that thing, and it had, like, what we were convinced of was a, like, sort of a defect in the nose that made it... Because we saw other ones in the toy store that clearly had come from the same factory, and their noses were different, and we were convinced that the, you know, imperfect nose of our vinyl ET beanbag made it special. And we really loved it.
It's like an upside down postage stamp. Like,
yep.
It's going to be worth a lot of money someday.
Oh my gosh.
My ET that looks like he just got in a fist fight. Yeah.
I had an ET nightlight.
Did his like belly light up?
Yeah, the belly lit up. Okay. The little red thing.
Aww.
Is that cute?
I don't know.
Clearly, whatever race ET belongs to has no natural predators on it.
Oh,
because otherwise that'd be totally maladaptive. Yep, that your heart would light up.
I'd be asking to borrow one of your spare shirts to cover up that.
Sure.
Chris, I heard a rumor that you had pulled another clip or two for our conversation. And I wanted to give you a chance to share if you wanted to. So with all the stuff that you have, was there anything that you specifically wanted? Or did you just kind of take what you got? Or were there things you specifically wanted?
I mean, there was only one thing that I remember really, really kind of lobbying my parents for at Christmas time. And I do recall this was a real hot in-demand toy. And my parents actually had to locate two of them because they had to get my brother one.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So this is a present day review of this toy that I vaguely recall having.
Let's try this here. And that is the voice from that guy that plays the principal on Boy Meets World. That's the original kit there. Unfortunately, they never made a talking car.
I don't understand. That
out.
Is a talking car.
And it sounds like my batteries are dying on the car here.
Yes. So this was the Knight Rider kit, or was it called Kit 2000?
You
kit
really was wanted yeah. Kit.
Kit was an acronym for something, right? Knight
yeah.
Industries.
Knight Industries.
Yeah. Is it 2000? Yeah. Something
like that.
Yeah. So, but when you press the California license plate, it would say something, and it came with a limited degree articulation David Hasselhoff figure.
Yes.
That was wearing a red turtleneck and a black leather jacket. I think he swiveled at the hips and maybe the maybe the shoulders, but not the elbows or knees.
Can he fit into kit?
You really had to work at it. using ordinary household tools, you could get him in and out of kit. And I do remember like my parents kind of, you know, letting us see some frustration that they had gone all over hell trying to find two of these, and we did not remain interested in them for a sufficient length of time. Like, I think we got over that in a couple months.
So they were like trying to get you back paying attention to the talking car.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then Knight Rider was canceled in 1986.
We want to know what your favorite movie merchandise is. Find us at facebook.com/PCHH and on Twitter at PCHH. And of course, thank you for listening to Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR. We will see you all tomorrow.
A few years ago, a website popped up in Stockton, California, and conspiracy theories started ramping way up.
And it's being funded by conservative movement underneath the table.
And I was like, oh my gosh, you guys, people really believe this.
What happens when the local news outlet isn't fact-checking conspiracy theories, maybe encouraging them? Listen now from NPR's Invisibilia podcast.